clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Well, you guys, tighten the girth up on the saddle and get ready because we got one heck of a show today. I got a really beautiful, smiley, happy woman in the studio with me today, Lori Campbell from the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. And we got a lot to do today. And she's fired up. She's wearing her cowboy hat. She's got her clothes on from working cattle. So she's ready to go. But currently we got 54 degrees right now. The Nathan Brewer dew point is 43. Humidity is 66%. Nobody's stripping cotton or doing peanuts yet, I can tell you that. Wind south, 8 miles an hour. Wind gusts are, 11 miles an hour. So anyway, I'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for you later this hour. Meanwhile, first, I got to tell you my story before I came to work. So my wife was leaving town today, so I kind of hung around the house instead of going deer hunting or something, go feed cows like I needed to. And then I was getting ready to leave, and Coulter, CV I call him, Coulter Vault calls. He said, "Hey, Jimmy, what are you doing?" I said, "Getting ready to go to work." He said, "We just got a call. There's some wild hogs in the high fence." So what do? I drop the go-to-work attitude. Go to the gun safe and get some guns out and met Coulter at the gate. We had a little fun. We had a 22-250, 17 HMR, the Drastic Park 45-70. We had that going on, and I warned Coulter that it kicked. Well, if everybody knows Coulter, nothing scares him. So we got out there in the high fence and finally found them. They hide. When they sit and hide in the weeds, you're not going to find them, and you really don't want to walk on top of them. But we got them out, and they come running. We got some of them. That 45-70 does some damage. No wonder they hunt dinosaurs with them. We got three. And then Gary was there, Ripto. He showed up, and he acted like a bird dog, went in there to flush him out. He's 6-foot-high, careless weeds. He's not scared of nothing either. But we end up getting one more, and the rest of the little ones got escaped. So that was what I did prior to come to work. But because those feral hogs, they do some damage. So anyway, we had that going on. But our Oklahoma cash grain prices as of 11 o'clock, wheat was $7.49, corn was $5.54, Milo's $5.57, and soybeans are $11.60. Wheat futures were higher in overnight trading on concerns about availability of the grain in cold weather in the United States growing areas. Russia increased its export tax on wheat this week as part of its so-called floating rate levy system that allows the government to raise or lower duties on shipments to ensure domestic supply. Ukraine also will limit wheat exports this year. S&P Global said in a note to clients, the country will cap shipments on the grain of 25.3 million metric tons. The USDA said in its monthly report that it sees Russia exports at 35 million metric tons, down from 38.5 tons a year earlier. Shipments from the Ukraine were pegged by the USDA at 23.5 million metric tons. Oh, yeah. If it sounds like I'm yelling on the radio, well, I am, because I can't hear myself because Coulter let one of those 45-70 rounds off pretty close to my hearing, and I sound like I got a northern running through my head right now, so you'll have to excuse me if I'm yelling. Cold weather in the United States Southern Plains and Eastern Midwest also may be giving prices a boost. Temperatures were expected to fall into the mid to upper 20s overnights in parts of Kansas, Oklahoma and Texas and some counties in Arkansas and Missouri, according to the National Weather Service. About 87% of the winter crop was planted earlier and just ahead of the prior five-year average of the crop has emerged from the ground. And then we got prices in Chicago earlier this week hit the highest in almost 9 years. Soybeans were down slightly in overnight trading as the U.S. harvest rolls on. Growers have collected 79% of their soybeans, and that's up from 73% last week. Normal is 81%. About 74% of the U.S. corn was harvested at the start of the week, up from 66% a week earlier, and the average is 66% for this time of the year. Wheat futures for December delivery gained 4.25 cents to 7.85 and a quarter a bushel overnight at the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City rose 2.75 cents to 7.93 and a half. Man, we're about a week away from $8 a bushel wheat in Kansas City on the futures. Soybean futures, don't go buy any because I said that. I'm not an expert in that field, so I'm guessing. Soybean futures for November delivery fell 4 cents to 12.40 and a quarter a bushel. Soy meal declined $1.40 to $3.39.40 a ton, short ton, while soy oil lost 0.31 to 60 and 72 cents a pound. Corn futures for delivery were up a penny and a half at 5.65 and a half a bushel. Well, I'm going to cut my BS session segment down a little earlier because I want to get to Lori. She's got all kinds of stuff we're going to talk about. We are live on Facebook. Check her out. She's dressed to work cattle. She's got one beautiful smile, but check her out. And then you can also go to the Paragon app on your phone, or KCOFM.com, or just listen to us right here on the radio. So get you a big old Dr. Pepper and a hamburger, sit down at the table, don't forget to wipe your mouth, and we'll be back. And anytime during the show that you want to ask questions, the KCO Ag text line is open at 580-225-9697. This is Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO, and we'll be right back.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus. Red Angus cattle are just more docile as a breed, just bred into them. It's been that way for years since the inception of the breed. My two kids, and not just the kids, the older generation, they don't want to mess with bulls that are not gentle. Red Angus are more gentle to handle. We raise registered Red Angus. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
We learned in grade school 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 2 plus 2 equals 4. So what does quality feed equal? Results you can be proud of. It's simple math with a little common sense. Barnes Feed Service in Hobart, Oklahoma has done the math and mixed years of common sense into their feeds so you'll get the results you deserve. And remember, their name ends with service, something they take pride in every day. See their ads in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at LMAauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I'm back. Before we get to Lori, Hobart Stockyards had their sale yesterday down there in Hobart, Oklahoma / Kiowa County. And we got, I'm going to go over a few of these numbers from there. It looks like we had 466 average weight steers that was bringing up to $1.67. There was some 759 steers bringing up to $1.38. And we got, there's a few 844 average weight was bringing up to $1.35. Heifers was 400 pounds, 449 average weight was bringing up to $1.58. And some 642-pound average weights was bringing up to $1.26 on the heifer side. Cows, 1,000 pounds and over, was bringing up to 65 cents. And we had some pairs bringing up to 1875. That was pretty good. Bulls, 1495 average weight was bringing 89 cents up to 89 cents. And speaking of Hobart Stockyards, this Saturday will be their first Saturday of the month to have their sheep and goat auction. They switched it up from the last to the first. And so it'll be this Saturday at 12 noon. You can call Rex down there at the Hobart Stockyards for any of your buying or selling of the any sheep or goats for consignments and stuff. Get a hold of them. Looks like they'll start taking some Saturday afternoon, it looks like, or Friday afternoon. So get a hold of Rex down there. Well, welcome to the big time, Lori.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jimmy.
Oh, no problem. Really, welcome to the show. I'm so excited you're on here, and because you're full of vinegar.
Lots of it.
Lots of it. Anyway, she's with the Oklahoma Cattlemen Association, and you also ranch up there south of Arnett. And now they got to talking. I know exactly where you're at down there. You're not too far from Rocky Whitson, one of my good buddies.
Right around the corner.
Yeah, right around the corner. So I know some people up there. And I actually did some oil field work up there, too. But I do a lot more hunting than I do work up there. So let's let the audience find out who Lori is. But you come in here hugging some of these people you already knew in the radio station, so I might be the one behind the eight ball. So, but anyway, so you were born and raised in Nebraska.
Yes, sir.
Come on, tell us a story from up there.
Okay, so I grew up on a ranch in Nebraska. So yep. My parents, they both worked on the ranch. They share cropped up there, total cow-calf deal. Mom and dad both worked there. The first paycheck I ever remember getting, my dad took the average of what the steer calves brought that year. I was about 10, 11 years old, and that was the paycheck that I got for the year, was the average of what the steer calf brought.
Really?
So, yeah, my life has been tied to the cattle market for its entirety.
Yeah, and you're good at it from what I heard.
Well, I mean, you know.
Before I forget, you're the Western representative from the OCA, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and I forgot to put that in there when I introduced you, so sorry. So how'd you end up in Oklahoma?
So my parents sold out from up there when I was a senior in high school. They kind of just went on a great big road trip everywhere this side of the Mississippi, and they found this place down here south of Elk City, down when it used to be Triggers.
Yeah.
And they bought that place, and we trained horses down there. So I moved down here when I was a senior. High school.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, then you're married now.
Yeah, so I met the infamous Jeremiah Campbell at a Raiden Fireman's Dance, and then later on we caught back up with each other.
What were you doing in
Raiden? Well, I was actually helping a friend of mine fit some cattle, and he had been at a bareback riding school.
Right.
And, you know, I thought he was kind of cute, so I asked around, found out who he was. And I asked him to dance, and turns out he wanted to dance. So the rest is history.
Oh, that first dance. So they, what a, Raiden. You met the love of your life in Raiden.
Yeah, yeah.
That's one for the book. And so you guys got married,
mm-hmm.
And what have you been doing since?
So even before we were married, we were training horses together, taking care of cattle. We've done everything from stalker cattle up there by Woodward Fort Supply area. The outfit that we're on up here now at Arnett, that Davison and Sons cattle, that's a cow-calf deal, and then they retain ownership on those all of those, most of those cattle all the way through the feed yard.
I got you. And so you're on the, is it the Dawson?
Berryman is what.
Yeah. The Berryman. And then, so in your email you sent me last night, you each take care of one camp. Each.
Yes.
And how big is that camp?
So together we take care of about 20,000 acres.
And then how many heads on there?
So that's like 25, 30-acre country to a cow.
Right.
You know, and we don't feed any hay. That's just cake in the wintertime that we supplement with. And
right.
Yeah.
What do you guys do when it snows? Do you?
Well, so those cattle have pretty good cover. And, of course, all of that's good native grass. So as long as you don't have snow cover for more than a couple of days, they're okay.
Right.
Of course, we try to run cake to them as much as we can. And, you know, like last winter when things got so bad, was a little bit tougher. But those cows are, I mean, it's pretty amazing how resilient they are.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they know how to go get in a shinery mott and get down there underneath a cedar tree. And
well, we were talking, I think I was talking with Kent yesterday when he was on the show. You know, this used to be, that two-week deal we had was kind of normal back in the 80s and 90s around here, and 70s. And we were talking about northern cattle before the show started. Well, every one of my mama cows or their daughters come from the north.
They know how to stay warm in
the
winter. They
put sunblock on during that thing. So, you know, that's one of the good things about getting northern cattle. Now, you take cattle from up there to up there.
Not good.
Not good. But there's, well, what's going on your ranch right now?
So this morning we were actually gathering heifers this week and sorting everything up for replacement heifers. And then, of course, we're Bangs vaccinating and stuff this afternoon. So I had to ask for the pass from the big boss.
Yeah.
So I helped him.
Who is the big boss?
The big boss up there is Weston Gibbons.
Okay, cool. And I forgot to ask who the big boss is. So how many of them are you, how many of you are working on that ranch? Because that's a big ranch.
It's a big ranch. It is. So, and all of that ground is all in one place, so that makes it seem, you know, even bigger. But there's, I guess you would probably call it four guys that are full-time up there, and then two of us that are like part-time.
We're going to take a short break, and when we get back, we're going to start talking about some updates of events for the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. And you guys stay with us because all this affects you. And there's one on here that really gets my deal, the $2,600 per cow deal. Social media lit that up.
And oh, it was huge.
I bet there was people going out getting loans.
Yes.
Because they were going to keep their cows. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark and Lord Campbell from the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Associations here on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, November 1st. 1,590 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 402 brought 185. 6 at 492 brought 160. 12 at 645 brought 158. 57 at 711 brought 160. 25. 5 at 884 brought 152. 9 head of heifers at 351 brought 163. 18 at 559 brought 145. 7 at 591 brought 142. 10 at 629 brought 143. 9 at 646 brought 150. 25. Butcher cows were 20 to 7850. Bred cows 700 to 1280. 85 butcher bulls brought 64 to 86.50. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, I-40 exit 71 in Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
We're back. So I was looking at your updates, and let's start out with some federal issues update. The livestock mandatory pricing reporting.
Okay, so the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association has been working really hard to make sure that livestock mandatory reporting, that was all due to go into a continuing resolution. And so we've been trying really hard to make sure that stays on the books in the hopes that they would go ahead and consider that, even though they've had so many other things going on with the Biden administration. So they've been trying to take it apart so so that it doesn't automatically get put in with some of that other legislation. And there's no way it would have ever made it through if we hadn't kept all of that tied together. So it's kind of hard, you know, when they're looking at different things like the southern border crisis and all of the COVID issues, trying to keep our agricultural issues at the forefront, it gets pretty difficult.
Right, because I have a feeling that high up around here in the United States, cattle people aren't on their mind, or farmers.
No, we're a really small percentage as far as, you know, constituents go. And if money talks, we are pretty important when it comes to the money that we bring in. But we're not always the first ones that they think of when they think about lining their pockets.
Yeah, but the people in the United States, where do they get their food?
Yeah, I wonder if people even know. They just get further and further removed from that. But by that same token, I would say that sometimes as producers, we forget what the consumers want too. So we have to market to them just as much as we expect them to know our story. We really need to know part of their story too.
Right, it is. Well, the defense reauthorization includes a provision that doesn't look too wayno.
No, so that's another one of those plant-based meats, lab-cultured type things. And so we've worked with Senator Inhofe on that, trying to keep those things from getting pushed through. And so when they start talking about the different dietary regulations and things like that, it's really important that we make sure that beef and beef products that are real, not lab grown or anything, stay on everybody's plate. That's the same when they start looking at school lunches and those types of things too.
Well, when I was doing a little bit of studying up on the plant-based meats, I was kind of shocked to know that there's already 18 plants. This was a couple months ago. 18 plants in the United States already working on that and developing the plant-based meats.
Yes, and so we pushed some legislation through. OCA came up with a labeling bill here a couple of years ago that we pushed through and that Governor Stitt had signed, and that keeps fake meat or those lab cultured things, whatever that is, whatever
it's
you want to call
meat.
It. It's fake meat. It's We're going to call meat. It fake meat.
Yeah.
It's cowboy terms.
Yeah.
So it keeps them from using our beef as part of their label. So I see this commercial on TV and it drives me crazy. It's about Just Eggs is what it says on the bottle. And it's just this yellow bottle and it's plant based egg flavored product, something. There's no eggs in it. But yet they call it eggs, kind of like almond milk or soy milk. There's no moo cow in almond milk.
Because when I was in the military, you know, we was over in Iraq and Saudi, you know, you're not going to get fresh eggs out there. That powdered eggs, God, I just go back and open me an MRE up. I couldn't handle it. It was a bad deal. But, well, I've heard a couple of theories. Let's see what your opinion is. I'm not putting you under the bus here, but do you think that with all the ruckus going on between the producers and the packers, and with the feedlots right in between, and it seems like a lot of it's more political than anything, but do you think that there's a lot of people down the line? This is a conspiracy theory, but I mean, why isn't, the Packers, you don't hear them in Washington arguing on all this stuff they're trying to get on the cash-based prices, you know, and all that. You don't hear them in there fighting it. But you think that the government is trying to push, or somebody, not necessarily the government, do you think the government is trying to push more towards plant-based meats so we're not so dependent on cattle out here in the races? Because, you know, they got that 30-30 deal going where our current administration wants to have 30% of our current agriculture land out of
production
mm-hmm. by 2030. Do you think that's all? I mean, it's crazy. I'm sorry if I put you on the spot.
No, I'll tell you what happens at my house, Jimmy. We've got three kids. And when my kids want to cause trouble, they try to cause trouble with my husband Jeremiah and I.
Is that what you're saying I'm doing?
No. What I'm saying is when those kids can cause trouble between us, then we're not getting anything done.
Right.
And so if there is maybe some entities out there that are trying to cause some discord amongst our industry, then we're not, I mean, I don't feel like our enemy is the people that are down the road from us that are raising cattle too that might have a couple different views on a couple different issues.
Right.
I don't feel like our enemy is other people in the ag business, the pork industry, the chicken. That's not our competition. Our competition now is the people who literally want to put us out of business.
Right.
You know, the people that are not ag related at all. And if they can get us bickering amongst ourselves, there's so few of us anyway, we have got to stick together. It is so very important. And I can't stress that enough. I don't care what associations I think that the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association is the best.
Right.
But I encourage people to be involved and to be passionate about our industry. I mean, if we're not sticking up for ourselves, there's not anybody else going to do it.
And to work together doing it, no matter what association you're with.
Yes, and we're not all always going to agree on every single issue, but, I mean, I would say that's what makes marriage exciting.
and raising kids.
And raising kids, oh, yeah, exactly. We don't all agree on all of the issues, but at the end of the day, we're all going to have to sit down at the kitchen table together and change the world.
Yeah, because I told you earlier before the show started that I haven't had one person from any association even volunteer or offer to me to prove to me what's going on with the Packers as far as their profit. And you got to look at, yes, we need to make more money at the producer ends. I understand that. But we can do it ourselves if you do it. All right, we're going to bring up that email you sent me last night, all right?
All right.
Everybody hang tight with me here. So.
While you're pulling that up, I'll just say that, anybody that is providing a service within the industry, so if you're selling your cattle as weaning calves to a stalker guy, and then he's selling them on to a feedlot guy, the thing that's happening there is that someone else is providing a service to you that you either don't have the facilities or the abilities or the desire to do yourself.
Right.
And so there should be some value to that. I mean, I don't really want to go into the harvesting business of cattle, but I sure like taking care of them out there in the pasture.
You're very passionate. Well, last night she sent me an email, and there's a lot of other stuff, mainly telling me about her. But at the bottom, I'm going to read you the last paragraph, so everybody listen up. I really enjoyed the show today with Kent Watkins and his suggestion to start with the why in big cap letters, why. Also, when he mentioned about many people's added incomes, oil fields, et cetera, drying up, and how they are realizing that they have to really farm and really ranch. And it's more than just a tax write-off now. It's important to identify if you have a cattle hobby or a beef business and to be realistic about the revenue you can realistically expect from it. Nobody likes change, but there's a great quote from Donald Brown of the R.A. Brown Ranch where he says, "You don't have to change, but you're going to have to compete with everybody else that is changing." And that's perfectly said.
It's the way that it is. It's always been that way. You know, I mean, things have been changing as long as things have been around.
Right.
And we can either adapt and find ways to make it work, or we can sit down there at the coffee shop and complain about how we went out of business.
Yeah. And only one of those
in all Eastern country.
Yeah. All this country. Well, the cattle industry has changed a lot that I can remember of as back as far in the 80s, is as far back as I remember about cattle because I was in school in the 70s, but it's changed a lot. And there's still cow-calf operations, but the cow-calf operations have changed too because they're looking at genetics now and they're looking at all this. Back in the 80s, We wanted black baldies with a little ear. And now what do we want?
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, there's still a lot of value to those black baldies with a little bit of ear.
But, you know, the Angus Association, yeah, whether red or black, they've come a long way. Simmental's Association, they've brought their cattle a lot way. The Bramer Association has become, there's a lot of people with Bramers, and it's, I see more and more. Now, I don't know if I'm going to be that guy, but because I love my big black cows. So, but the cattle have changed a lot.
Yeah, and not necessarily do we just still have to have a great product, but we have to have a great marketing program for those products. And that's where you're saying, like, you know, your CAB, your Certified Angus Beef program, that's done a lot to ensure the consumer about the quality of the product that they're getting. And there's different breed associations that have more of that too.
Yep. But if you guys are just joining us, I have Lori Campbell from Arnett, Oklahoma in here, and she is the Western representative for the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, and she's no joke. There's not fake news in here. She's in here, and she knows what she's talking about, and I'm enjoying this conversation. I want her to come back already on, but we'll have her back on soon because the OCA is always working on something. Let's touch on something before we go to break. Medical marijuana.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, that's one of the hot topics in Oklahoma.
And remember, we're talking about medical marijuana outside city limits.
Yeah. Yes. And so basically what the OCA, we try to keep all of our issues as close to the cow as we can, but the medical marijuana grow houses are an issue that has really impacted rural Oklahoma in a way that I don't think anyone could have ever imagined.
Oh, it was like refugee camps up overnight.
Yep, absolutely. And so that, I mean, it's just, it's ripping at the fabric of rural Oklahoma. It's not only do we not always know who our neighbors are anymore, but there's also the issues of the electricity, and there's the issues of the water, and you know, there's no existing regulations for those grow houses. We've also got the issue, we were talking before the show about the spray drift, right, and the liability issues there. You know, I mean, it's one thing to get a little drift on somebody's cotton crop, but it's not millions of dollars like it is if you would, you know, be sued over a marijuana crop.
Right. Well, and, you know, I know some people that's got grow houses in our area, and one of them not very far from here, but they have you know, they have the proper ventilation system set up for, you could spray probably right next to that building and it ain't gonna affect it. But these overnight refugee camps that I'm talking about out there way out in the country, they're not set up that way.
No, not at all. And that's where we're running into problems. We're up to 8,600 permits in Oklahoma for grow houses that are actual legal permits. One of the problems is that it costs about $2,500 to get a permit in Oklahoma. By contrast, in Colorado, it's $25,000.
Yeah.
And so we have about 40% of the marijuana in the United States is grown here in Oklahoma right now. So for the first time ever, we're exporting out of the United States more marijuana than's being grown country.
And exporting out of Oklahoma is not even legal, is it?
Don't get me off in the weeds.
you talk about we grow a lot of marijuana here. There's not that many Oklahomans got medical marijuana cards.
I forget exactly. I think the Oklahomans would have to be spending $242 a month or something like that on marijuana to actually consume everything that we're growing within the state.
Wow, I didn't know that. I learned something today. All right, well, cool. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we got the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast, and we're going to talk about some false information that was put out. I think started with actually an Oklahoma U.S. representative, and we're going to talk about that. And we're going to tag on the fence line deal. So she's got all kinds of information. We're not even going to get through half of it today. But the OCA, the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, they do a lot of good. So we're going to be right back after this. I got Lori Campbell on here from the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. She'll be on here when we get back is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This hour
we've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I'm back, and I'm going to go over the forecast. Let's see here. It's currently 54 degrees, 43%, 43 degree dew point, 66% humidity. The winds are kind of slowly switching out of the south-southwest, so it's gonna start drying off here pretty soon, because I'm pretty sure we got some cotton guys and some peanut farmers that are chomping to get back in and get finished up on their stuff. So it's looking good. There's some beautiful. How's the crops up there in Arnett? I haven't been up there.
Well, we don't have just a whole lot of crops right there in our area. It's pretty dry when you get, you know, we're a little bit further west and we're sure enough further north. And so everybody's kind of been on track as far as getting their wheat planted and stuff, though.
Yeah, because there's a couple pivots as you pull into Arnett.
There's a couple circles right there. They raise corn on that one right there by the corner by the co-op this year.
So do you ever go to Pack Saddle Bar and have calf fries?
We have been known to swing by the Pack Saddle Bar.
It's my favorite place in the world.
Pretty good place.
I might not bring a lot of quail home, but I love going up there hunting. So anyway, today, 58 for a high. We're almost there. 38, mostly clear tonight. 64 tomorrow. 72 Saturday. 76 Sunday. Looks like it's not going to be really crazy windy through Monday. So 77 Monday. Enjoy after today. Enjoy the weather coming up, because down the line, probably opening week of deer season, I'm guessing, is we got a Siberian cold front coming in, and that's not cool. I'm glad we're not. You guys, you fall calf or spring calf?
Spring calf.
All right. So, how'd that turn out for you last year this year during the 2 week deal?
So our first calf heifers had just finished calving, so we had just a little handful of them, because we've been AIing them the past few years and shortening that up, which was great this year. But our mama cows had already started, so we didn't lose. I don't think maybe one calf out of the whole deal. We lost a lot of ears. We had some short ears and a few short tails, but those cows are survivors. I mean, they do a great
job.
That's
pretty good for that big operation.
Yeah, it really is. But I mean, we've got a lot of natural cover up there for the cattle.
Yeah, there's big grass, plum thickets, scrub oaks up there.
Yeah, shinery moths.
They're up there. So that was the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. So it looks pretty good. So there's no excuse this weekend for you guys to be out stripping. I actually hope you're stripping tomorrow during lunch hour. I hope there's no humidity in the morning, because we're going to do a live call into a farmer out there on one of the stripper balers, and I'm excited. I got a peanut guy last week, so I'm going to get me more than one cotton farmer, because I know somebody's got a lot of crops going on and they're going to be stripping cotton all the way up till Christmas. I can feel it. I know there's somebody out there. So anyway, well, you got some things coming up pretty quick.
We do. We have some exciting things happening. So we do what we call fall gatherings all the way across the state. We have 12 of them scheduled, but we're going to have one right here close to you guys at Leedy. So we're going to be at Mike and Annie Schweitzer's Quartermaster Creek Angus. That's coming up. Get your pens out. Tuesday, November the 9th. That's going to be next week, Tuesday. We'll go ahead and start serving food at 6:30. You do not need to be a member of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association to attend these. If you want to come and hear some more information about what the association is doing for you and about some more legislative updates, if you want to come and have some conversations with some more of the staff about, you know, opinions that you may have or suggestions that you have, we'd be happy to listen to those too. So that one is at Schweitzer's. That's next week, Tuesday, November the 9th, 6:30 p.m. You can go to okcattlemen.org, RSVP there, and get directions. And then we have another one that's going to be coming up too. That's Thursday, November the 18th, down there at Hobart, and that's Duff Cattle Company. That's Power Plus Genetics.
Yep. Yep, that's down here in Kiowa County. All the and both of these are in our listening area.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so you guys keep listening. We got it coming up for you. Well, let's go back to some of the stuff that I wanted to talk about. Oh, let's start with the $2,600 per cow deal. I reported, I did my research on it, and I reported within 2 or 3 days after I let it heat up on social media.
It did.
And get everybody fired up, and then I found out the truth. So anyway, tell us what you guys found out.
Well, so the $2,600, even that number was fictitious. That was just kind of a number that I think Farm Bureau had thrown out there. Like, this is an estimate of what this could potentially cost someone. I mean, it wasn't even like a real number.
$500 for pigs.
Right. I mean, they just had all kinds of crazy stuff happening with that. That bill was specifically written, like all of the language in that bill was specifically written for methane emissions from oil and gas, which we don't like that. I mean, Oklahoma is oil and gas. We don't like hearing that. But it didn't have anything to do with agriculture. The part that got sticky was that there was a the bill.
Being careful here.
I'm trying to be real careful. So I don't want to stick my foot in my mouth. But basically what happened was they were trying to add to the bill to make sure that there was a stipulation that agriculture was excluded. Well, agriculture was already excluded, so we really didn't need any amendments on there. And so there was some friction that came out because that was defeated. Now, I'm not going to say that, you know, that agriculture is not always on the chopping block for these kind of things, and we're always, always watching for that. But in this particular bill, that wasn't the case.
Yeah. Well, I got a text in. It wasn't on the ag text line. It was on the personal phone.
Uh-oh.
You know Jeff Cole? He said, you got a bona fide first-rate horse judge on today. Super good gal, he says. Thanks for listening, Jeff.
So I've judged a few county horse shows around here the past few years, so I know lots of little kids.
Well, I fracked a well up there on him and his dad's place,
yeah.
And that's where I got to know them. And his dad was great to work with, great guy. So, well, on that $2,600, I mean, realistically, common sense will tell you that your cow's not even worth that with a calf on there. With all the crap going on in the world nowadays, you know, it was like, really? And then start digging into the information, and we had some individuals even from this state, you know, just trying to get somebody mad at somebody up in the big house. So
yeah.
that's the way that worked out.
And it worked. I mean, and this is just another great reminder to people, you've got to be involved. I mean, you need to know what's going on with your industry. You know, need to know what's the truth and what's not. And you need to have your name added to the numbers so that when the Cattlemen's Association goes into these kind of meetings or when they're having these conversations, they say, hey, we're 5,000 strong in Oklahoma. And one of those needs to be you.
Yes, exactly. And it's spot on. Well, you guys got some topics on interim studies going on. Let's start with the first one, my favorite.
I knew you were going to go there. Okay.
Oklahoma fence law.
I feel a story coming on.
No, I'm not going to because my landlord will get mad at me, but I've seen the law called in on some of this stuff.
Yeah, so fence laws, I mean, what do they say? You know, you need to be friends with your neighbor, but you need to have good fences. So, or good neighbors make good fences. Good fences make good neighbors.
Yeah, there you go.
So our fence law goes back to like 1910. And so there's all kinds of things that need to be updated when it comes to our fencing laws. So people have had issues like what you're talking about. And so when members bring those things up, then that's like when we start trying to develop new policy on that. And then they have to start bringing those things up into the legislature and all of that, trying to update those things. We're actually having a board meeting tomorrow. It's going to be over at Stonewall, kind of over by Ada. And one of the things that's going to be discussed a lot over there is school lands. And a lot of things about the school lands, but included in that is going to be some conversation about fence law, who's liable, who's responsible, and how to deal with some of those kind of things.
Have you got an example in your head that you don't have to mention any names of what is a bad scenario or a normal scenario, 20 foot off, 100 foot off?
Yeah, that's a real typical kind of thing. And so there's a lot of technology that exists now that didn't exist in 1910.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, when people go in and land's been traded or sold so many different times between now and then, there's a lot of those boundaries and things that are just way off, you know, and so then trying to figure out, well, who's going to reconcile that, like who's losing, who's gaining, you know, where do you even start when it starts coming into to changing up those boundaries or updating that kind of information? So,
well, I not a story, but I have an example. The one section that I own land in, west of Willow, all the roads around there, the county roads, were all squared off. And right in the middle of all these beautiful square sections, there's this one that looks like you just put your finger on top of that square and just push down on it, and it's leaning. One, that's mine. But if you get on the technical part of it, boundaries on your iPhone app, and that one deal is very spot on. I mean, it's spot on. You get on there, and my red line goes across the county road onto the other guy's property on the west side of the county road, the north-south line. Well, there's nothing you can do about it now. But I've got extra from the people on the east side of me. So it all works out. You still got your 400 acres or whatever you got, but it's I mean, if somebody was to come in there and buy that, or I sell my place and they look at that, well, I'm not buying it unless we get it surveyed. What am I gonna do?
Yeah, then what? So there's a lot of updating that needs to happen with that. It gets even more exciting when you start talking about minerals and royalties. Jeez. And water, and yeah,
because I hope to get somebody on the show one of these days to talk about minerals and royalty, because there's still a lot of individuals out in western Oklahoma in particular where the oil field's really busy that had a contract that was a lease that was done years and years ago and really ain't got any say so. But those things are changing, you know, where somebody had a oil well or a gas well on their property and it ain't been produced in years and years, and that location sitting there and there's oil dripping out on the deal, you know, from some guy, you know. And I'm not bashing the oil field. I grew up in it, and it's been a lifesaver for western Oklahoma. But, you know, things change, like properties, they change, and it needs to be taken care of.
Yeah, because nobody's making any money off of that property either. You know, I mean, it's not useful for anything. And somebody is responsible or should be responsible for the reclamation of that. But yep. Who is that?
Yep, who is it? Hey, what about this ag sales tax exemption?
Okay, so...
Man, I've hit two in a row that you just kind of, all right.
Okay, take a big deep breath. So when you start talking about anything that has to do with Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, you can pretty much figure that we're going to be for less government, less taxes, and we figure that that equals more profitability. So it does to me. That's how I do my math. The ag sales tax exemption is always on the chopping block. Here several years ago, you know, when the budget got really tight, there was four different bills that came through that year where they were trying to either change the different rules for applying for your ag sales tax exemption, trying to get rid of it altogether. They did a bunch of modifications last year, trying to make it so that the tax assessors in each county were trying to get the same information. Like, there were some of them trying to make you provide your Schedule F and just all kinds of different things like that that are really not legal. So they're trying to streamline that so that it's the same all the way across the state. And of course, then this year, there's a bunch of the interim studies and things like that. And you can blame some of that on the medical marijuana, because our sales tax exemptions, the dollar number has gone up a lot. And I don't think it's because you're buying more cake.
Really?
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, there's a little bit of a deal there where we need to be figuring. Yeah, you can't afford any more of that.
No. Yeah, there. No, because... yeah, it's very, you know, true. I didn't know till a few years back, you know, a lot of times you go get tires and they ask for your farm sales tax. I got lined out one day. He says, yeah, here's my sales tax deal. I wasn't trying to pull nothing over. It's just normal. We don't do that. That's road tax. You're getting taxed, Mr. Clark. Just put that card right back in your billfold. I had to pay tax now on the tractors and stuff. That's a whole different ballgame.
Right.
But my pickup, they go back and forth, my go to church pickup, I call it. Yeah, that didn't work. So I tried.
It was a good try.
It was a good try. Don't tell me you never tried.
Well, I mean, you know, most of my things actually are sales tax exempt. Yeah. We're going to stick with that story.
Was it horseshoes?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm going to work on getting you guys where you have to pay sales tax, road tax on those horseshoes. That ain't going to happen, is it? Well, what else we got going on?
Oh, gosh. Well, you can just, like, pick something. So we can talk some more legislative stuff, or we can talk about some of the services that Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association provides.
Let's do that. Okay. We got about 3 minutes.
All right. Well, I'll try to make it quick. You'll have to tell me when we get close. But
When you start hearing music.
That's when it's time.
That's your
it's
sign.
Over.
That's
okay.
Your sign.
Well, so the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association serves as the official brand registrar of the state. Right. So when you go to register your brand, you're dealing with Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. Cassie Danielson handles all that stuff in the office. She does a great job. And we actually have those where you can access that online now. So that's awesome. So if you have somebody's bull show up, you don't have to call your local sheriff or your extension office or even Paul Cornett or Devin Huckabee. You can figure that out on your own sometimes. Look that up. That's also on okcattlemen.org. We started a direct-to-consumer beef directory here when COVID hit, and so there's about 120 of our members that are listed at that same, it's on a different tab there, it's the direct-to-consumer beef directory, and that's, we had over 100,000 hits in the first 4 months that was on our website.
Really?
Of consumers looking to buy beef direct. So that was just an exciting thing that we had happening, too.
You hear that?
That's the music.
That's the music. That's your sign. Well, thank you so much for being on.
I enjoyed it, Jimmy.
And I want you to come back on.
It's a deal.
Yeah, it's a deal. And I hope you guys learned something and enjoyed the show today. And don't forget, Elk City Livestock Auction is mañana. It's tomorrow. Call Brandon. And then the goat and sheep sale is Friday at the Hober, or Saturday at the Hober Stockyards. And you've been listening to Lori Campbell from the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. She's the Western Rep. And Jimmy Clark, the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO. You guys have a great day, and God bless.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the hottest country music on the planet.
This is KECO, Elk City.
A new mandate battle begins. Elisa Brady, Fox News. The Republican National Committee is suing the